welcome to episode 52 of Screen Champs. I'm your host, Dubs, here with my co-host, the Madman Mo.
What's going on, brother?
What's happening, man? Today's episode, we're going to talk a little Thanksgiving, because this episode's coming out after Thanksgiving, and the episode that came out this Monday before Thanksgiving, we didn't bring up Thanksgiving at all, so I feel like we're just kind of, you know, just covering it, because it's coming up. And we're going to do a review of King Richard. Should be a little short hitter, but it's a movie I'm definitely excited to talk about, and I'm glad that due to scheduling, it really made sense for us to review this, because it's one that I did want to get done. Mehmet, you excited for Thanksgiving? I think last year you were in the throes of COVID during Thanksgiving. Is that correct?
I was. Yeah, I was. I was struggling.
Couldn't taste things, right?
No, it was almost like poetic. It was like my last meal, like if I was going to be executed. I had a big old plate, big old feast. That morning was when my sister was like, the following morning after Thanksgiving, that's when my sister was like, hey, I can't taste anything. My dad can't taste anything. And I was like, what? And I brushed my teeth and I couldn't taste anything. And then I just started just tasting a bunch of stuff, like trying to. And then I ended up throwing up because I ate like zebra cakes and like hot Cheetos and like nice. A burrito. Yeah. Like just, yeah, I was just trying to eat anything, trying to taste something and I couldn't. And I threw all up because my tummy was upset, which happens quite often.
That's so gross.
A very rough Thanksgiving.
Yeah. was there anything that got through on like the taste spectrum? Like, was there something like super spicy or something like that you knew? Like when you were eating hot Cheetos, did you know it was a hot Cheeto or it was like you couldn't taste shit? Like it was nothing.
No, it's like no. I really couldn't taste anything. It was weird. What helped was like drinking IPAs. I couldn't taste them, so I was just like slugging those things. So I remember one of my buddies.
Is a strong word there.
One of my buddies' parents like they invited me to like a Zoom thing, and then it was like show and tell. It was like, hey, so like, how do you feel? I was like, I don't taste anything. They're like, wow, that's crazy. I was like, yeah, and then I was just drinking. I was answering the questions. And I drank a whole 12 pack, and then I stopped because I was smashed. Like, I was drunk.
Yeah.
It was scary. But I couldn't taste anything. So it was weird. It was a weird time.
Well, okay. So it sounds like you...
I was hoping to taste, like, the bitterness, you know, like, from the IPA. Like, just hoping to taste some bitterness of it. Nothing.
And if not through the one, maybe the second one, third one, fourth one, fifth one, sixth one, seventh, eighth... Maybe the ninth one, 10th one, the 11th one, even the 12th one.
And I'm not proud of it, just but hey.
You never know. You never know. You don't know, like, one's like, extra bitter or, they made it incorrectly. It makes sense for science.
It, like, came through. It's, like, on the 12th one, it comes through, and no one believes me because I'm drunk. I can taste. I swear I can. They're like, this guy is drunk.
Yeah, now I know smashed. He's smashed. Yeah. All right, well, I'm glad you rested up during COVID, and you took the time to just... You know, stay safe. Sounds like it was a wild time for everyone. Yeah, man, Thanksgiving is going to come and go. I honestly, like, I like Thanksgiving. I like getting together. But I'm more excited for Christmas season. Everything after Thanksgiving is what I get really excited about. All the lights, everything like that. There's a couple shows that come out on Wednesday, and I feel like they're not going to air because of Thanksgiving. Like, I don't know if Survivor is going to air. I don't know if The Challenge is going to air.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, I'd rather have The Challenge than Thanksgiving. That's just me personally, but you know, you can't win them all.
That's a huge. You'd rather watch The Challenge than celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Thanksgiving's a little problematic now, right? I mean, I don't know, right? Like fucking pilgrims and Indians. Like, what are we doing? What's going on? Right?
Like, is that one guy on TikTok who's like, "Hey, colonizer," and he just like goes in, like, white people. That guy scared the shit out of me. Hey, colonizer, remember when we taught you how to hunt and now you eat hot Cheetos and Big Macs all day? I'm like, bro, leave me alone, man. Dang. I'm just...
But yeah, I feel like it's probably, I mean, Christopher Columbus Day, that kind of got, you know, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, anymore. We don't do that no more. Yeah, bro, we were out there doing that, bro, dressing up like Chris Columbus, like we were like, you know, exploring, finding people. Like, it was some crazy stuff. Elementary. Sure. There was that lady that got in trouble. What? You didn't do that in your school?
No. Okay. Well, you said elementary. Like, when you say these things, you're like, we were out here doing crazy stuff. And I'm like, I don't think I was on Chris Columbus Day, sir. And so you're like, yeah, we were out there dressing up like Chris Columbus.
Yeah, you have your little loafers on, your little like blue little thing, little blue suit on.
Just like wooden shoes.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. No, none of that. None of that. None of the pilgrim garb.
You got to go to school in South Central, man. They go all out.
Copy that.
We're out there handling. It was like a whole like production. I thought I was in drama school or something. It was intense. It was like a Broadway play.
Mm-hmm. And
look, it was like West Side Story.
I don't know if it's problematic, but if it's not, like if it is, I don't really want to know. It just feels like it's the next. I mean, I don't know. After like, I feel like Columbus leads into Thanksgiving, and like if it's not the case, then it just feels like the next shoe to drop. I don't know, but at the same time, the president kills a turkey. It all feels very like, you know, you just got to keep doing it. So. Whatever.
Those poor turkeys. No, man. I also probably don't even celebrate Thanksgiving the way people, like normal people do too, though.
Well, I don't think you have a grasp on what normal people are doing. I feel like you've said on here that you think people are dressing up as pilgrims. And yeah, I don't think that's the case.
I think there is. I think because of TikTok, you'll see that. You'll see some stuff.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, content creators maybe, but you know, most people just eat dinner.
No, you're going to see. No. No, 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 no. You're going to see people dressed up. I'm going to dress up. No, I'm just going to watch football all day. I'm going to watch football all day and then eat food. Get that nice plate and then get that little sandwich. You know, when you have the little Hawaiian rolls, cut that in half and you just throw everything that you've been eating to make a little sandwich out of it.
Yeah.
See, that's my Thanksgiving.
It sounds like you're going to do Thanksgiving just like everyone else, which is a good thing. Just watch football and eat. That's it. It's great.
What's your favorite plate?
Oh, mashed potatoes for sure. And if there's mac and cheese, 100%. I hate turkey. Like, I hate turkey. It's so stupid. I hate turkey. I hate ham. Both of it. I'd rather
avoid. Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy you said you hate ham. Back when I ate meat, I thought ham was just so obnoxious. Like, I hated it. I never understood it. Like, it's like, oh, like ham. And I'm like, no. Like, I eat ham every day in my sandwich. They're like, no, this one's got a pineapple on top, a little cherry. Yeah. I'm like, ugh, that sounds gross.
Yeah, turkey and ham are the most boring meats ever. So every once in a while, there'll be a brisket. I'm a big fan of the brisket, if that gets made. If it doesn't, that's all right. You know, just go hard on the sides. I don't like the weird sides. When you talk about, like, tuna casserole or whatever. Like, I don't even know if that's a real side, but, like, the green bean casserole.
Green bean casserole? I think is a lie. People are like, oh, I have the best green bean casserole. I'm like, you don't, though. Like, you really don't. Like, no one does.
Yeah,
that's it's a weird bar thing to be proud of. That's a weird thing to, like, you know, like, hey, like, my green bean casserole is amazing. It's like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it's all a sham.
And it's weird, you know, on a day when everyone gets together and everyone's so excited to eat, it's weird that these are some of the foods that we decided on. I guess I never thought of it. I don't know. I guess this is, you know, this must be what the Indians taught us and Chris Columbus about how to eat, clearly, which is why we're doing it.
Hey, colonizer.
Yeah, but because it just doesn't seem like fun food. Yeah, I don't know. See, like for me on Christmas morning, it was always, we would make, now this isn't like a tradition everywhere, but I feel like you can kind of make it your own, right?
Mm-hmm,
so on Christmas morning, we had eggs, bacon. It would be real bacon because my mom would always get turkey bacon normally. Eggs, real bacon. And we'd have cinnamon rolls. Like, you know, homemade cinnamon rolls. So bomb with mimosas. That's a fucking, that's a meal. That's, you know,
like, that is a meal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then Thanksgiving where we were like eating, you know, green beans and like ham and turkey. Like, it's kind of a bummer, dude. But yeah, mashed potatoes all day and mac and cheese all day. Sign me up. Pumpkin pie, sweet potato pie, whatever you got, sign me up.
Yeah, and also, like, full disclosure, like, I will happily eat everyone's green bean casserole, because I don't need meat. So, you know what? I mean, if you're saying it's the best one, I'm going to eat it. But also, like, understand, like, this is all a sham. Like, this is all fake. No one believes in this.
And none of it's real.
Like, none of this
cranberry sauce. Yeah, it's odd stuff.
That cranberry sauce is weird. I think I also, like, it's definitely a joke too when people get the, like, Vienna sausages with, like, the peas and they make, like, a gelatin type, like, thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's not real. That's like, that's good. That really? Like, that's that. Can you just, like, tell me it's not real, right? Like, that's that's fake. That's clearly a joke, right? No one's out there eating Vienna sausages, gelatin like with peas in there, right?
I personally have never seen it made in my
great because you're white and I'm not white.
I so, am white.
Colonizer. You know what I'm saying? Colonizer. Have you gone somewhere and seen some questionable things? All that means nothing to you because I've gone to some family parties and I'm like, yo, who the heck made that? Like, that's gross. Like, that's oof.
It's a weird time. And I don't know. There was one Thanksgiving where I convinced my dad to just order pizza. And I really liked that
Thanksgiving. Oh, what a dream. Man, I wish I could do that.
It was great. Everyone had a good time. No one had to cook. But everyone made, like, homemade desserts. So we had pizza and then just, like, a shit ton of sweets. Ugh. Can't beat
it. How old were you when this happened?
Definitely high school, for sure.
Ooh,
definitely high school. Because it was a Thanksgiving / Christmas, I think.
Okay.
Because there's definitely presents involved, too. So it was, like, all in one.
Damn. So you guys are... I don't know what's going on in your household, but it sounds like you guys definitely figured out the holidays.
Divorce. Yeah.
We just eat whatever we want. It's like,
yeah. You gotta be a little loose with the dates, you know? It's kind of like Thanksgiving, what is it, Christmas, whatever.
Yeah. It's like, we're just gonna do everything. I didn't get that. And I was like, hey, can I get pizza? I'm like, no. What? What the hell's wrong with you? You're gonna eat this freaking string bean green bean casserole your sister made. That's all she has.
Let's hop into our review here. We got King Richard. This is a movie about how tennis superstars Venus and Serena Williams became who they are after the coaching from their father, Richard Williams. This is a movie that I've been looking forward to for quite a while. You know, starring Will Smith. Now, it's got Anjanue Ellis playing his wife, Oracine, who is terrific. John Bernthal and Tony Goldwyn as the coaches. And then Sania Sidney and Demi Singleton as Venus and Serena Williams, all who did really well. But obviously, you know, all those names, you know, John Bernthal is definitely an up-and-comer who I'm always excited to see. But, you know, you see Will Smith, you're going to pay attention. So Will Smith is in this, playing Richard Williams, father of Venus and Serena. And it's definitely worth watching. Knocks it out of the park. This one's directed by Reynaldo Marcus Green, who has previously done Monsters and Men, and Joe Bell, which was with Mark Wahlberg and was not very welcomed anywhere. Mm-hmm. And this is written by Zach Baylin. And this was the first movie he's written, credited for. And now he's also writing Creed 3. So, you know, you write one and you just start writing them all. Yeah, you know, this was a very interesting movie about a very interesting person. When we talk about sports, I feel like you don't see a lot of tennis movies. And it's because tennis, a lot of people don't really watch tennis, I think. I mean, it's definitely a popular sport, but at the same time, you know, not what you need to reach the masses. But Venus and Serena, like, if you don't know about Venus and Serena Williams, it's insane the level that they reached considering their siblings. I mean, there's 1,000 comparisons you could do. I mean, I heard Will Smith say in an interview, he's like, it'd be like if you had Tiger Woods and then number one, and then Tiger Woods' brother is number two. Or if when Michael Jordan had his 6 rings and he's playing on the Bulls and they're running the NBA, that his brother was on the Lakers, you know, at the same time doing the same thing in the West. Like, it's just, it's so crazy that these two sisters were able to take over a sport like this. It's absolutely insane. And so this story is just crazy. Just bottom line, you know, any tennis fan is going to be engaged with this. Anyone who's a fan of sports and prodigies is going to be engaged with this. And the movie played well. But, man, what did you think of King Richard here? Actually, before you tell me what you thought of the movie, did you have an opinion about Richard Williams before the movie at all? Like, did you know about him or
anything? Yeah. The only thing I knew was that he was very, like, involved in their coaching and was kind of, like, you know, calling shots, you know, and I guess in the movie you do see that. That's the only thing that I knew. Like, I didn't know, like, if he was mean, if he was nice, if he was harsh. Like, I didn't know how his demeanor was. If he was like Bill Belichick or, like, you know, like, I really didn't know. All I know is that this guy freaking coached him, right? And make them who they are to this day. Okay. That's the only thing I know.
So you did know that he was instrumental for their success. You knew he was involved.
I know he was very involved, yeah.
Okay, but you didn't really have any like preconceived notions about him, positive or negative. You just
knew if he was crazy, if he was like, you know, criticized, like I don't know any of that. Mm-hmm. All I know is that he was just very involved in there. And you know, that's just what I remember. I remember seeing those pictures too. And in Compton, I went to school in Compton and stuff, so I remember seeing like, you know, like just, you know, pictures of him and like them. And I was like, oh, who's that? I was like, oh, that's the Williams family or whatever. Like, okay, whatever.
Okay. And I, like, you know, similar, I mean, I wasn't too deep into the lore of Venus and Serena Williams, but
yeah,
I did know that, I guess I would characterize it as, I always felt like he was an overbearing father who like forced them to play tennis and forced them to get good at tennis. But because of that, obviously now they're great tennis players, and I'm sure they thank him for it. But,
yeah,
you know, definitely just took control of their lives and made them do what he wanted them to do, not what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
That's all I really thought. I didn't know much else, but that's kind of where my head was at going into this.
Okay.
I think the movie definitely told a story that was a lot more sympathetic to him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I think the movie tried to paint him in a much better light than that, and even glossing over some things that, you know, you could say it's glossed over. It's probably some of the strongest scenes in the movie that address some of his shortcomings, but at the same time, in the grand scheme of things, definitely glossed over. I guess the argument would be that it's not that important. But anyway, Madman, what did you think about King Richard here?
Oh, I really enjoyed this movie. This one's really good.
Okay.
And it's been a while since I've seen a movie like this. We're nearing the end of the year too.
Yeah.
You know, the last movies we've seen, the reviews we've done, they're like, whatever, they're fine. They're movies and stuff. But yeah, this is definitely one that, it's making a mark for me, in the films that I've seen this year. I just really enjoyed it. And I watched it at home, HBO Max. I watched it at home. I don't think it had that much of an impact or a difference if I would have watched it in the theater. I actually kind of enjoyed it, like watching it in the comfort of my home. And it was a good film. Like, it was just really overall a greatly directed and a well-acted film. All the actors in this movie just killed it.
Yeah.
And Will Smith, tremendously. Like, this movie is running through him. And the way he embodied this character and really just went in, it shows, and it just makes this movie so much better. Like, it's just so good. I couldn't help but to think of, like, man, if they really grabbed someone else, or if they did, you know, a different,
just Will Smith, if someone other than Will Smith was playing this character, do you think you're enjoying this movie as much?
I don't think so. Maybe like Denzel, like people that I know that can do, like, you know, Denzel, let's say maybe even like, shoot, like Sam Jackson. I was thinking like, how would that have played? But I think the only thing that is missing is just the range of emotion that Will Smith can convey and do, because his character is pretty complex. And I feel like Will Smith is an emotional guy, and I think it shows through his work, and he just knows how to channel that energy and give you a performance that's really, it's really great.
I thought this was pretty unique for him, in general, as far as, you know, I think we've talked about on this podcast too, previous times, that Will Smith seems to be an actor who craves control. He doesn't seem to let a role go by without Will Smithing it a little bit. And now it's a biopic, so obviously there's a reason not to do that. But Will Smith is such a prolific actor that it's, you know, when you don't see Will Smith in a role, you know that he really bought in, because he as a personality shines through in a negative way a lot of his performances. I don't think anyone could have done this. But you're not watching Will Smith. You're watching, I mean, you're watching Richard Williams. He was,
yes,
he embodied the character. So he always was so good.
100%. Yeah, no, definitely 100%. He did it. And the voice, right? like before we started recording, we were, you know, kind of talking about his voice and stuff, and I won't get too into it, but there was a moment where I'm like, man, am I really gonna, you know, believe, you know, he sounds like this throughout the whole movie? And then, like, obviously, like 10 minutes in or whatever, I just, like, that thought just like never came back. I was just so immersed in it. I was like, yeah, this is Williams. This is him.
It's him.
This is Richard. Yeah. Because he just did a good job. I mean, Will Smith is a great actor. He is a great actor. He's gonna get nominated for an Oscar. He might win the damn thing. He had a hell of a performance. Like, it's a great performance, and it was just an awesome sight to see. I when I'm talking about his performance too, and you know, some of the things that I was comparing it to, that, you know, things I've already seen from him, was, you know, like, you know, him as Chris Gardner in Pursuit of Happiness, him in like Ali. He killed it. I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss of words here. It's a damn good performance, man.
It's great. You know, the story takes a lot of interesting turns. There's some of it that there was one moment in particular, and I know you shared a few with me where you're like, this is kind of taking me out of the story a little bit. There was one moment where a character seemingly called CPS, like Child Protective Services, because of the training schedule that they were being kept on, and then it, you know, which led to a scene where Will Smith is able to say, you know, like, I'm raising my daughters and they're never going to be in the street. And it's, you know, it's a very powerful scene.
Oh yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, is someone encountering really calling CPS on you because you're taking your kids to train at 6 a.m.? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. And it just didn't ring true to me. Now, that was a moment for me where I was like, there was a great scene afterwards, that, you know, with the police in there, and, you know, he's like, well, if you want to look around the house, look around the house, you know, he's walling out, like, you're here, but again, those moments, and I know you had some moments too, right, with, like, some of the gang members and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, it's in Compton, right? The movie starts off, like, when they're in Compton, and, you know, I think chronologically in their life, right? They once they're really coming up in tennis, they're still in Compton, and then once they really kind of hit a different level, they go to Florida, and so but they're in Compton. They, you know, are growing up in Compton. They're training in Compton, and Compton at that time is not very good. This is like early 90s, I think.
It's not like it is 90s, today. Now it's a national park.
It's peachy. It's just very, you know, it's very dangerous, and you know, gangster scenes, when you see them in TV, you know, it could be somewhat comical or it could be intense or whatever, and there are just some scenes in the movie that kind of like worked out perfectly, I guess, for, you know, Richard Williams, and it felt a little Hallmark-ish. It felt a little bit too on the nose, like too like, okay, all right, I guess, you know, like, of course, you know, in Compton, you're going to see this or whatever. And I kind of didn't like that. But then it doesn't last very quickly. I guess it does have the effect that they wanted to have for Richard Williams's character and, you know, stuff that he's going through and, kind of his development in the movie and his progression or whatever. But, I kind of didn't like that. It kind of took me away a little bit.
And I, you know, I thought it was interesting too, because, you know, how you were talking about that moment, and also felt the same way, where, you know, it's just kind of like this weird, it's like, do you go approach these people? Like, if so, why? Like, if you know you're gonna get beat up, and there's a quote where they're like, oh, mom, dad got beat up again. Like, he's constantly getting beat up by these guys for defending his family. You know, I was curious to see how you would feel about it, just because I definitely, when watching those moments, it's like, okay, I don't know if they're laying on a little too thick here, but let's just enjoy the movie. And I was definitely able to. You know, I almost feel bad by how much we've talked about this stuff, because the movie is so great.
Yeah, this is these are small things. But here's what's interesting. I was led to believe in the beginning that this guy is like a loser almost because of just the way that he is being treated, right? Or the way that the way life has treated him, and how much he has had to fight to be where he is at now. Obviously, you know, that didn't stay with me long because as the movie goes on, I'm like, oh no, this guy he's just fighting his whole life, you know, but he's not going to let his daughters, you know, succumb to that. He's not going to let his daughters be punked around by life. He, you know, they're going to handle it.
Yeah.
And he has this just like confidence and just this energy, and it just keeps manifesting and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's funny because in sports, you know, you're a coach and you're coaching your daughters, right? This is like you. This is also like your vanity, right? This is like your ego. You're feeding into your ego too. Some people do a bad job at that, right? And some of you do a great job. And then you'll see people like they'll live through their kids, and sometimes that's just all it is. Like their kids don't, you know, grow up to be the Venuses or the Serenas, you know. But the parent will still like, you know, try to get whatever they can.
Yeah, if you have overbearing parents, you will identify with the movie.
But then, it's like, you know, you could do a bad job. You could be like in Waves. Right.
yeah. Overbearing doesn't all. You're either going to be a tennis star or you're going to kill your pregnant girlfriend.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If A24 was behind King Richard, trust me,
it would get dark real quick.
Oh yeah.
And so like, there's the movie's more formulaic. The more I pull back from it, and the more I think about it objectively, I'm like, oh man, they really did that. So everything is kind of a moment, and it makes sense. You know, and so there's, you know, they go through Venus at the time is better than Serena, so she's getting a lot of opportunities. Serena's kind of on the back burner. Sunia Sidney playing Venus Williams and Demi Singleton playing Serena Williams both did a great job. They were just so charming the whole time, you know?
Yeah,
they were this smile that would brighten up a room, and they were super engaged, and they played off Will Smith really well. And they were just a joy to be on the screen. And so you just end up rooting for them because they seem so sweet and so nice that you're buying in the whole time. And then the movie essentially, you know, Will Smith just never making a wrong decision. Ever. Like every single decision he makes seems to be the right thing. And then, you know, he'll sit there and argue with the coaches, but he's right. And you take this deal, like, no, we're going to wait and get a better deal. And then you do. And that's kind of the whole movie. I almost am, like, getting more frustrated about the way some of the movie goes. But apparently pretty on spot with what happened. Where they were getting offered big amounts of money before Venus played in these last tournaments that the movie, like, kind of climaxes with. And they got a huge payday just a couple months later because they waited. So, yeah, did any of the story beats, did you really appreciate them? I did like the way they portrayed the tennis. I thought it was interesting. They never really broke down the rules, which I also thought was interesting because I'm familiar with tennis scoring, but I don't think a lot of people are. And so when they're just like love 30, love 40, you know, game, set, match, like, I don't know if people really understand what's happening, but I still think it was engaging regardless.
Yeah, also too, like the whole open stance thing, like that's something that they do, and I guess you don't. And they do that to this day. And I thought that was kind of cool. Like, I was like, oh, okay. You know, this father was fighting for that, yeah? And they were trying to eliminate that. They were trying to make them normal, like, in their eyes and do things that the way everyone does, and because that's the way you do it. And if you don't, then you're an idiot. And no, freaking King Richard was out there, you know? Fulfilling his own prophecy and something so small, like a small detail of like just having that open, you know, stance or whatever. It like hit and you know, afterwards I'm reading, I'm like, oh wow, that's a cool little detail that they like threw in there. The freaking John Bernthal character, what's his name? Paul
Rick. He's great.
Rick Macy. He, much like all the coaches, didn't really agree much with Richard Williams. But what he did agree with was how he treated them as kids. Like, he let them be kids. He let them have fun. And he understood that and appreciated that from Richard Williams.
Yeah, and there's an interesting thing, and we're going to rate the movie in a second, and I do want to rate the movie without any of the reality surrounding it, because
yeah,
as interesting as it is to look into like the true story behind the true story, I don't think it matters when you're talking about just a movie in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But what I really think is interesting about this one specifically is it seems like it's trying to cleanse the image of someone. And, you know, it just seems kind of wild. There's a moment where in the movie, they're getting into an argument, and Orsine, his wife, you know, is like, oh, you know, I was there when your son showed up and when your other daughter showed up, and kind of talking about this whole other family, you know, and that's the only time it's ever mentioned, just that one moment. And then she says something like, oh, you were just like, oh, they found me, you know, and so then I look into it, and it's just because of how strongly this character is in the movie, talking about, you know, this is what we do. You know, you plan to fail, and I'm never going to leave you girls. I'm never going to, you know, betray you. He had a family of 5 kids, and before the oldest one was 8, he left all of them. And he left home, and he said, oh, I'm going to go buy you a new bike, and just never came back. Like, So it's a weird, like, and then there was also speculation that he may have like up to 14 to 19 kids. Now that's just, at this point, it's all just who knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. Hopefully none of these people takes a 23andMe. They're all going to figure it out. But he's clearly a complicated man, maybe a little more complicated than than the movie's really showing. There's things I read where he, you know, banned his daughters from dating. And when they would bring dolls home, like if they were given a doll for a gift, he would rip the heads off so they didn't even get ideas of motherhood. And it kind of combats this, you know, guy who's like, hey, we got to make sure they're kids. I'm not going to stress them out. They just need to be kids and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, wait, do they need to be kids, or are they not allowed to date and you're ripping dolls' heads off because they need to focus on tennis? Like, what's going on? Does any of that bother you? The behind the scenes stuff of just kind of all the things that seem to be coming out because this movie was made?
Well, it is a movie, and they're going to do it in a tasteful way. And I just wonder how involved, you know, the Williams family is with this film.
The sisters are involved. The sisters are involved.
Yeah.
Very involved. Richard Williams is not involved.
So I'm assuming the sisters are like, yeah, we're going to showcase our dad in a way that we're comfortable with. So we'll show you some of that stuff, and then we'll show you like some of the good too. Like, well, most of the good. But we'll show you the bad stuff too, which they do in the movie. Because I was thinking the movie is about the kids, right? The movie is about the daughters. But then the movie is called King Richard.
It is.
Like, okay, it's about this guy's like ego, and it's about this guy. You know, like, and so I'm like trying to figure out like who is the star here? You know, yeah obviously it is Will Smith.
King Richard. It's an interesting way to tell their story, because there's still the basis of it. If they weren't successful, there's no story, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's just a story of a very,
just an overbearing dad. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, and then they get killed at the high school party by their boyfriend. And then it's waves too, and we didn't know.
Yeah, and then he'll find the other kids. Like, man, all right, we're going to turn you into a baseball star. Maybe you could be a basketball star. Because, what disturbed me was, what bothered me was like, yeah, well, that's what we pick tennis. There's not a lot of black, tennis players, and we're going to make an impact. It's a way you just like chose a sport that your kids could be good at, and just started teaching them that.
Yep.
That's out of control. So when people are telling him like, yeah, it's amazing, really, you doing what you did. He's like, oh, is it really? Yeah. Cause I'm black, huh? And they're like, well, no, it's like, come on, look at your circumstances. Look at, you have no money, bro. He's like, nah. But no, it's good. I liked it. I liked everything. I liked it all.
Cool. It's interesting. Just I find it interesting that I think some people have watched the movie and been like, oh, this kind of added a little nuance to someone who I thought I knew but didn't really know. And it's a little bit more perspective about someone who's engaged. My wife and I watched it. And I was like, oh, okay, like, this is, and as the movie was going on, although it's incredible what his daughters have done. And obviously the work that he's put in with them led to that. I found it very hard to be empathetic, even with the character, let alone without researching stuff afterwards. And my wife kind of the same way too. Like after that argument that he had with his wife in the Florida house, she was like, I'm done with this guy. Like he's a scumbag. And like after the movie, you know, like, you know, he's like, hey, I'm really proud of you. And I was like, dang, look at, she did it. And he was like, she was like, no. Yeah, she did it. What about his other five kids? What the hell's going on with them? I was like, yeah, that's true. I don't know about those kids. I'm sorry.
No, but it's, yeah, it's interesting. Just to add into that a little bit. Yeah, they're divorced. Yeah, he's been married like three times. Like they're, and I love that. I liked reading that because I'm like, okay, great. This wasn't fake. This is real. That was an intense conversation. You know, it was an intense argument. Yeah. And it's true. It shows that, you know, this guy ain't that perfect. Like he's not, you know, like a perfect human being. And the movie shows that. And it does it in a good, tasteful way. And I think they did a good job showcasing that. And man, I just can't help but think about freaking Viola Davis and Fences now. When you brought that up, because it's true. It's like, you know, like it's just like the way that they bounced off of each other, and you know, just that chemistry and that art. It felt like a real. I feel like I was those kids up in the stairs, staring down, just wondering what's gonna happen next. You know, you know, this guy, he's not perfect, and I think this movie doesn't shy away from it too much.
I mean, it shies away a little bit, but you know, but I'm also, that's why I think it's interesting to kind of, you know, see how people react to it. You know, I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about it, and it seemed like the overall reaction was like, oh, my view of him kind of almost softened a little bit. I had a more intense view, thought maybe he was kind of a bad guy.
Yeah.
And now I feel a little bit better about him. I would say that my view of him is complicated. I don't know. But also,
no,
it's the shit how I feel.
No, but that's fair. Because I was like, there was a moment where I'm like, wait, am I rooting for this guy? Or am I, like, you know, I was like, is it going to turn? You know, like where I'm going to just hate this guy? Or like, or am I still going to root for this? Yeah. And then when the ending comes, right, and there's like a celebration, I was like, hold up. Like, this is a little bit too much here now. You know, I was like, what are we celebrating? Yeah, we're celebrating the girls. We're celebrating the girls. We're not celebrating.
Yeah, if you're rooting for him, you're rooting for the girls, and that's, you know, that's who you want to see succeed. Yeah. Okay, so how do you want to rate this movie, man? How do you want to? How we do tennis rackets? We do thugs, gangsters. On how you want to? We could do red minivans. We could do by VHS Cinderellas.
I'm gonna hit you with a random Rick Macy's mustache.
Then do mustaches, Rick Macy's mustache?
Specifically his mustache.
Okay.
Where he was like, oh yeah, you girls must not like mustaches. That's why you can't hit. Yeah, huh? He's like going in on them.
That was a good moment. Okay, Rick Macy's mustache. I like it. Let's hear your score.
Okay. I'm gonna give you 93.
Oh, dang.
93.
Higher than, oh, wait, never mind. Yeah, 93. Good, cool.
No, I almost joined the 95 club. Maybe even, but then I was thinking about, like, what movies that have 95, and I feel like I have to move up freaking
Sound of Metal. Movies. Yeah.
Sound of Metal is probably like a 99 now. Like, I just have to move everything. Everything's got to be kind of moved up a little bit. But no, it's 93. I think Minari was like a 92 or maybe a 94. And it's like around up there with that tier. It's definitely not a bad movie. It's probably one of the best movies. Oh, it's definitely one of the best movies I've seen this year. And probably like in the last 5 years. Like, it's up. I really enjoyed this movie a lot. Ever since I saw The Way Back. I was like, dude, I'm feeling for another sports movie. And this one was just, it was just there. It filled in the void. And it's just so good. It's so great. And I should have talked about John Bernthal a little bit too, like a little bit more, because I didn't. But my three-word review is going to be like, give me more Bernthal, because He's so great. He's awesome. He's, man, you see him in action roles. You see him in, like, muscle roles. But he could do comedy very well, too. And he was just a great supporting actor. I'm calling it now. He's going to get nominated for Best Supporting Actor. And hopefully he freaking wins because he deserves it. He's just so good in his role. And he has a very intense scene with Will Smith's Richard Williams. And I really enjoyed it. And I really wanted to see more of him. But that's just the way this movie is, you know, is just great acting all around, great supporting actors, and great killer performance with Will Smith, Richard Williams.
All right, copy that. Let's see. So I'm gonna go with 87. Rick Macy mustaches.
I thought you were gonna hit it with 89, man. Ooh, I thought you were going. I had money on it.
87. I liked it a lot. I think there was as much as I liked it. I think that the thing that makes it great is Will Smith, and it is great because of Will Smith. But
yeah,
if you take away Will Smith and kind of look at some of the other things, it is very formulaic, which is okay. It's a sports movie. It hits the beats.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's stuff that you've seen before. You've just never seen Will Smith like this. Mm-hmm. And so he put in an Oscar-worthy performance. He's definitely going to get nominated. I think he's kind of the talk of the town for now, but there's a thousand different things that can happen between now and when the Oscars come out. You know, so, but I think it's a strong, strong movie. I really liked it. But the reason it's 87 is just because it's, at the same time, it's not going to be my favorite sports movie. I don't know if it's even in my top five in the last 10 years. And, you know, it's going to be in my top 10 this year because this year's been a little rough for movies. At least right now, it's in my top 10. There's still some stuff we got to go through. I'm excited to get my top 10 list together, by the way.
Yeah, dude. I think it's, yeah, it deserves to, I think it should still be on there. Like,
I think so too. I think so too. But I, you know, there's still a lot of movies I haven't seen. So, but I think it will be there. Very solid movie.
I know mine's going to be, like, it's King Richard's going to be in there. Like, it's yeah, up there.
But even, you know, when it's just so, when the best thing about a movie is the performance, it's like, okay, so how good is the movie? And I don't know if that makes sense. And I don't even know what I'm trying to get across. But I don't know if that resonates with you, me saying that. But I think 87
is fair. It's got me thinking.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Purely based off of, you know, Will Smith's performance, along with everyone else in the movie, including John Bernthal, who did an absolutely terrific job. And my three-word review is going to be obscure sports movies. And that's just kind of, now, what is it? Do you want more of them? It's just obscure sports movies. I like them. And one of the things that I was listening to the director talk about, some of his inspiration for this movie, and he kept bringing up Moneyball as being kind of this, you know, interesting movie. Baseball, I understand, is not obscure, but the way they approach it is obscure.
Yeah.
So I want, you know, movies about all these things that I'm not really normally paying attention to. Like, tennis is one of those things, even though Venus and Serena are two of the top stars in the world, there's ludicrous lyrics about them, you know, but still, I need sports movies that aren't, you know, the big ones. That's not basketball, not football, and ways to look at different things. It was nice to see some tennis out there.
Yeah, when I was talking to someone about this movie, trying to sell them on there, like, on the movie, they were like, yeah, but I feel like it's just going to hit all the beats like it is. It's like, oh, like, they don't have the money, and it's hard upbringing, and then, you know, it's going to work out for them. Like, we all knew it was going to happen. And I was like, yeah, but it's kind of like Moneyball. Like, you know, it's kind of like different kind of sports movie. And they're like, oh, yeah, they didn't really like that one. And I was like, ah, well,
what the hell? Screw you. Like, I was like, hopefully this is the last conversation you have with that person who said they don't like Moneyball. Jeez
Louise. Yeah, no, it's so good. But no, I was like, I mean, it's a good comp. Like, even the score too is like very similar to like Moneyball. And I checked the different people. It's okay. Yeah. But I was like, you know, you see one of these things, you're like, oh, bro, I bet you it's this. And then it just wasn't. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm not that big of a movie guy as I thought. No, that's a good comp.
Big fan of the movie. Would recommend everyone watching it. I feel like I shrouded this review with a lot of negativity. The movie's great. It's a little over 2 hours. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes. Sit down. It's a great story. It's a fun story. And I think you'll all enjoy it. Regardless of any realities behind it, he's a father who was very engaged and wanted to bring up his daughters, the ones that he decided not to leave when they were kids.
Damn! You got that one charged up, huh?
Yeah, just, I didn't even mean to. I just can't stop saying it. Can you imagine leaving five kids? Whatever. But, you know, so the ones that he decided to stay with, when he was like, I like these five better than the last five. These five are tennis stars. And decided to keep going with them. That, you know, he was instilling good values with them. It seems like they've grown up to be good people. So, shout out Richard Williams.
They're killing it. They're killing it. Yeah, shout out him.
But, all right, well, that ends our review here today. Catch you guys next week. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you had a good time. Hope you were able to spend some time with family in these COVID times. It's, you know, some people, I feel like, you know, we're vaxxed and waxed, brother. You know, as you know, we got our vaccinations.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We're going to get our booster shots, you know, coming up soon, I'm sure. So we're good to go. You know, we're out here at sporting events. We're living life. But I still hear people say things like, yeah, we're, you know, because of COVID, we may not be doing Thanksgiving this year. I hope y'all have some fun, man. This is, you know.
Yeah, who's saying that? Who's saying because of COVID? I haven't heard that phrase in a long time.
Oh, bro, people are saying it. People are saying it. I've definitely heard it. And so I'm just saying, if you're around people that are saying that or feeling like that, or anyone who's, you know, immune compromised, I just hope you have some fun. You know, I hope you have some fun. I hope you live your life. Have a good Thanksgiving. And have a good day after Thanksgiving. And the next day. And, you know, have a good Tuesday, too. Do some wild shit on Tuesday. Go to Dave & Buster's on Wednesday. Half price games. Just get trashed during happy hour.
Go, yes. Like 3:30. Sign me up.
Get drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Have fun. Do whatever you want. You know, yeah,
order pizza on Friday night.
Yeah. Do whatever you want. Just don't
watch a Disney Channel bother original movie.
Anyone else. Like, don't be loud somewhere. You know, get drunk, but be quiet. Don't bother other people, you know?
Drink wine rather than vodka, you know what I'm saying?
Or drink vodka. We don't want to put you in a box. You do
vodka
what you
make
do.
You go wild, Dubs.
Just do it quietly. Nothing I hate more than people who are loud in public. So if you're going to be in public, do it quietly. If you're going to be at home, scream, yell, have a good time. And just have fun. Do something crazy this week. Not because of Thanksgiving. Not because of Chris Columbus. That bastard. That piece of shit.
Hey, colonizer.
Yeah. Not because of colonizer. Because you deserve it. You've been working hard. You deserve to have a good time. And if people are trying to stop you from doing that, not today. Not today,
colonizer. Throw a tennis ball at him. And,
Yeah, take that, Mr. Williams.
Yeah.
Mr. Williams, we're not going to practice today.
Where's your kids at? We don't know.
We don't know. Yeah, apparently, too, like, one of them said, like,
where's my bike at? That kid's got, waiting like, for that bike, dude.
Their mom got cancer, and, like, they asked him to help pay for bills, and he, like, wouldn't pay and stuff.
No, wouldn't
pay for any of them to go to school or anything, even after Venus and Cerulean got rich. Like, ugh. Damn.
That Reebok deal.
Right? I didn't see any of that. That's something like someone else was looking up stuff and just told me, but I was like, ooh, that's a little
weird. I mean, I read some weird stuff too. Where it was like, oh, wow, did you know about this? And then I was like, I wish I didn't read that.
Yeah, dude, I read that like when he sees puppies, he like kills half of them. I don't know, just not all of them, but just half of them.
Yeah, well, because he left half his kids. So he was like, you are going to be stronger because of this now.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, which was remember this.
Yeah. What he told Serena. Good. Yeah. In the movie. He's like, hey, you know. He's like, I know this is hard for you, isn't it? She's like, it is. He's like, yeah, well, it's because this is what I've decided that this is what you need to go through because
I know, right? I'm calling the shots around here. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry, but I am. But yeah, who's paying for your house, huh? He's like, you don't have to do that. You're better than that.
You're better man than that, Rick. Better man
than for a kid. Just jumpsuit.
That is the trump card. All you know, if you're paying for someone's house and he's talking shit, it's like, who's paying for this house? Like, better man than that.
You better man than that. He's like, oh, come on, you better than that.
Poor John Bernthal. He's like, bro.
He was just trying to, you know, he loved the sport, right? It seemed like he loved the sport.
No, I know. Well, have a good, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. Just ordinary Tuesday, Wednesday, while out. And we'll catch you the following Monday. Hopefully you're still alive and not in prison. Peace. Hey guys, that sounded great. Can we get everyone to reset? All right, take two.
Your mom gave me a gallon of Henny to quench that, you heard?
It's no snow on the floor. He's really skiing to Coney Island on a hard top.
What we doing, Coney Island, Colin?
Real, son. We keep it real.
Fuck your life.
Bing bong.
He had too many shots. You want a shot?
Hey, yo, Ariana Grande, what's up, mama? I'll come to Coney Island and take a spin on the cyclone. I miss you.
Let's see that flip, boy. Yeah. Put the yellow foams on.
I have 7 female wives. Go to my Instagram.
What do you want
to
tell Joe Byron right now?
What's up, baby? Take me out to dinner.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo, we got Byron's Car Wash live from Coney Island. Are you vaccinated?
Yes, sir.
I was feeling thirsty, y'all.
What's up, bitch?
No, I have
7 female wives. Go to my Instagram.
What do you want to tell Joe Byron right now?
What's up, baby? Take me out to dinner.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo. We-
You can just hear the tiredness in his voice. This guy's hungry.
What's up, baby? Take me out to dinner.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
Oh, that's fucking ridiculous.
Byron. Byron. What's up, baby? Take me out to dinner.
Oh, man.